Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Welcome to the World Today radio program. My name is Frank Weltner, and today is February the 6th, 2011. Egypt is still in turmoil. However, a Google executive who has been missing for over a week in Egypt is set to be released Monday, according to family members and friends who say that they've been contacted by Egyptian authorities. In addition to being the top Google marketing executive in the Middle East, Wael Ghonam is an internet activist who had been critical of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak in the days leading up to the violence that has paralyzed Egypt. Ghonam hasn't been heard from since January 27th, the night before protesters held what they called a day of rage filled with violent clashes between police and protesters. Since his disappearance, Ghonam has become a symbol to internet activists who have struggled to overcome internet and cell phone blackouts, which have accompanied widespread media repression, including violent attacks against journalists that have left at least one reporter dead. Ghonam, described by the Journal as a father of two who is in his 30s, is thought to be the anonymous activist who created the Facebook page that first called for the January 25th protest that sparked the uprising, according to the New York Times. Ghonam has also been a volunteer for the pro-democracy campaign of Mohammed El-Baradei, the former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, who has also returned to Egypt to oppose Mubarak. Separately, Reuters reported that Egyptian telecom mogul Nawab Saras said Sunday that Egyptian authorities had told him that Ghonam would be released Monday. Ghonam, who tweets, posted the following ominous message on Twitter before he disappeared. The message said, "Pray for Egypt. Very worried as it seems the government is planning a war crime tomorrow against people. We are all ready to die." Unquote. Google did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Well, what's interesting is that Google is so big that it works with the Homeland Security Agency of the American government in the helping the forces of fascism to try to figure out who might be a terrorist here and there using the Google system. This is something that is not really, well, it's not really right that this should happen. It's another gut buster for the American civil rights reputation. When you can't even use a search engine without being reported to the FBI or the CIA, then, well, many people think there's something wrong about that. So here we have somebody in the Google establishment behind the first call for public disturbances in Egypt in an agency that works hand-in-hand with the CIA. So what I've said all along, that this is a CIA operation, seems to be supported somewhat by this story. And you have to be careful who you're dealing with when you have a revolution. We had a revolution in Iran a few years back that didn't end up too nicely for the Iranians or for the Americans. Of course, what the Americans had done to Iran before that hadn't worked too well for the Iranians anyway, since we had colonized it and were flying airplanes through their territory day and night, driving the people there absolutely nuts. They finally got rid of us. And then we started doing the same thing to Iraq and to Afghanistan. Because we're so interested in having a colonial empire that we don't care who we kill. And we've killed millions of people. Several million in Iraq, several million in Afghanistan, and several million in Iran. But we don't care. We don't care. We're a bloodthirsty group of people here in America. And if you go to AmericanUSSR.com, you can see all of the thousands and thousands of things the United States has done over the years that are despicable and which are more suitable to Nazi Germany than to a country that has the false reputation for goodness that America has, when in fact America is one of the nastiest countries in the world for screwing people over and murdering them. In the last two decades, the United States has been said to have murdered over 4 million people in the Middle East, mostly in Iraq and in Afghanistan. This is unacceptable. Randy Weaver is a former Green Beret who was at the center of a deadly confrontation with U.S. federal agents at Ruby Ridge, Idaho in 1992. Lest we forget what happened there, I would like to discuss this for at least for a few minutes in this program. Randy Weaver was the only son of four children, born to Clarence and Wilma Weaver, a farming couple from Visalia, Iowa. The Weavers were deeply religious and had difficulty in finding a denomination that matched their views. Hence, they often moved around among evangelical, Presbyterian, and Baptist churches. Weaver earned decent degrees in school and enjoyed a variety of sports. He professed his faith in Jesus Christ at age 11. However, he recently stated at a news conference for Edward and Elaine Brown, "I ain't afraid of dying no more. I'm curious about the afterlife, and I'm an atheist." So evidently, somewhere along the line, he must have lost his religion. Most of it, I would think, being due to what the FBI did to him by murdering his family right in front of him. When the Vietnam War began to escalate, Weaver dropped out of community college and joined the United States Army in October 1968. He excelled in the military and qualified for the Green Berets. He was promoted to the rank of sergeant following his training. His first assignment was at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, an assignment he resented. He could not understand the point of being trained as a Green Beret without being able to apply his skills in combat. Friends later said he became bitter that men who wanted nothing to do with the war were sent to Vietnam regularly. Yet he, who had volunteered, sat at an army base with non-combat duties. As Weaver waited for deployment to Vietnam, Vicki Jordison was finishing her college studies, earning a two-year degree in business and getting a job at the United Way. In 1970, Weaver secured a temporary leave from Fort Bragg and returned to his hometown for a visit. He had already decided to finish his duties with the Army as soon as possible and wanted to inform his family of his plans. It did not take long for him to reunite with Jordison. Randy Weaver was considered part of a white supremacist movement by the federal government. Now, of course, if you ask me, it would be none of the government's business as to whether or not he was a part of a white supremacist movement. Why would the federal government be concerned one bit about that? Federal government should have kept its nose clean, not worried about any of those things. Believing Weaver to have attended the Aryan Nations Church and Aryan Nations World Congresses, the U.S. Secret Service and FBI interviewed Weaver and his wife in 1965. Weaver denied belonging to Aryan Nations, and the couple cited differences in religious beliefs between them and the group. Weaver was approached at a 1986 Aryan Nations rally by undercover ATF agent Kenneth Federley. Undercover is a biker named Gus Megizono, who was investigating Weaver's friend Frank Kumnick. Federley presented himself as a New Jersey illegal arms dealer. Fatterly met Weaver again at the 1987 World Congress. Weaver skipped the 1988 Aryan meeting and ran as candidate for county sheriff and lost. In 1989, Weaver supplied two modified shotguns to Fatterly. The ATF maintained that the weapons supplied by Weaver were illegally shortened when Fatterly received them. Weaver has claimed otherwise. The Department of Justice Ruby Ridge Task Force report in 1994 records that Fatterly stated Weaver showed him an unaltered shotgun, and Fatterly pointed out where he wanted Weaver to cut the gun. The ATF wanted to use Weaver to introduce Fatterly to charge Howarth, who was starting a group in Montana, after which the ATF intended to drop the Kumnick and Weaver investigations. Weaver refused to take Fatterly to Montana, and Fatterly was told by his superiors to have no further contact with Weaver. Well, I'm sure that you're familiar with this story. After long-time surveillance, the Deputy Director of Special Operations Group of the Marshals Service recommended against a tactical assault on the Weaver residence. He recommended that the incident be dismissed and then refiled later under seal, so Weaver would be unaware of a new indictment, hoping to cause Weaver to drop his guard. The federal government had asked him to rat on his friends, and he had refused to do so, which was quite noble. And of course, the FBI itself has always been extremely ignoble and an enemy of the United States people, such as Randy Weaver. Well, you know, he may have been a white supremacist, but what business is that of the federal government? Is it against the law to be a white supremacist? Is it against the law to be a Jewish supremacist? Is it against the law to be a Christian supremacist? Our biggest ally in the world is Israel, which is a Jewish supremacist nation, which doesn't allow Christians or Arabs to come to that country and immigrate, because of their racism and their prejudice against those religions. So here you have the federal government going after white supremacists. Why would they be doing that? I don't understand that. I absolutely don't understand that. Do they consider them to be a threat to the American government? I would think that maybe they do, and possibly the reason they do is that the federal government is trying to commit genocide against the white people of this country by not allowing them to immigrate here and by allowing non-whites to integrate and immigrate constantly. In fact, just walk across the border from Mexico into here. So you see, the federal government is the enemy of the people of this country. And here they are trying to arrest this man who's simply trying to stand up for his own people, which I find despicable. So at any rate, on August the 22nd, 1992, sniper observer teams were deployed to the north ridge overlooking the cabin that Weaver was in. Randy Weaver, Harris, and Weaver's 16-year-old daughter were seen outside the cabin. By this time, Randy Weaver's son, Sammy, was dead, murdered by the FBI, who had murdered his dog, and he shot back at them, seeking to protect the security of the area. And they shot him dead. He'd been placed in a shed. And his mother was killed by a Japanese FBI agent named Horiuchi as she was holding her baby. And now we had a standoff for 10 days in which federal agents surround the house and fired into it. And Randy and his three surviving children remained with Harris and the body of his wife under a blood-soaked blanket. They dug a hole, and the bullets were weaving in and out over their heads. So here you have the federal government endangering minor children in a bloodbath that they were trying to create inside of this house. Well, we've known the federal government to do this over and over again. That is exactly why I have started the AmericanUSSR.com. It's so that you will have a place to go to find all of these incidents and all of the crap that the United States has pulled on the citizens of this country. And so that you'll know how deceitful and how murderous America has been. How America has allowed people to inject 14-year-old girls with plutonium. How they have ordered soldiers to stand by inside trenches 1 mile from atomic bombs and to walk across the deadly center where the atomic bombs went off within minutes after the bomb was finished. All of them dying of leukemia within 20 years. We're talking a government that doesn't care about the people of this country. This is basically a bastard, retarded government of very, very sick people, much like the henchmen of Hitler's Nazi Germany and the henchmen of Stalin's regime. And a lot like Eisenhower, who murdered 1 million German prisoners, starved them to death, left them open to exposure, and committed other war crimes against them. And this is exactly what they were doing with Randall Claude Randy Weaver, who was a former Green Beret. You see, the federal government kills its own kind, and it kills their children, and it endangers their children by shooting into their cabin over and over again. Because the United States is a very, very sick turkey, and it needs to be watched. I would like to ask all of you to help to publicize the website www.americanussr.com, which contains all of these negative reports of what the United States has done over the past 100 years, and even further back, the sickening medical experiments that have been authorized by the federal government, the many bio-tragedies that have been enforced upon our innocent citizens. These things are just terrible. And people around the world need to know. They need to know also the many people who have been liquidated by the United States, many of them journalists, and how the United States has asked journalists to sign up with the CIA and to report on nations where they are in contact by traveling there to collect stories, and to allow themselves to be misused as spies, to photograph different areas of the countries so that the CIA could put these photographs into their dossiers. This type of activity should never be condoned, because the third estate, which is the press, needs to be kept sacrosanct and separate from the United States government at all times. In order to protect the purity of the press, which of course now is one of the most tainted and corrupt organizations in the world. The White House has publicly responded to the controversy over what Alex Jones has called the plan to bankrupt the coal industry, and its connection to this week's blackouts across the country, especially in Texas, by attempting to deny the link in a rebuttal that amounts to nothing more than a tissue of lies, deception, and spin. In a blog that appears on the front page of whitehouse.gov, an official site, the White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer begins by claiming that the story came from a questionable source and is unquestionably false without even naming the source. Frightened that Americans might actually read the source and make up their own minds based on facts, Pfeiffer fails to provide a link to original source articles of Infowars.com that was subsequently picked up by the Drudge Report, Fox News, and numerous other media outlets. Pfeiffer then oversimplifies the debate by building a new straw man argument based around the premise that the Obama administration is somehow responsible for the rolling blackouts in Texas before blaming the outages on cold weather. By framing the argument to make out as if InfoWars claimed Obama flipped a switch and the lights went out is completely deceptive. Alex Jones and And his writer, Mr. Watson, say, of course, the cold weather has shown that the country is vulnerable to blackouts, but that vulnerability is a direct result of the administration's stated goal to bankrupt the coal industry. And its proven track record through the enforcement of EPA regulations, of blocking power plants from being built that would be able to handle the extra demand. What they've done, according to Jones, is to put the screws on all of the coal plants in Texas and then allow the electric companies to buy their electricity from unregulated coal plants across the border in Mexico, thereby bankrupting the American companies and providing income for those that are outside of this country, which is an evil and immoral act on the part of the Obama administration and should not be allowed. The United States of America is collapsing at the present moment due to the underproduction of oil resources and coal resources. The United States is unable to keep its currency in order. It is losing its place around the world as the leading currency. It is losing value hour by hour, because there simply isn't enough energy in the world to sustain the dramatic growth that the American people desire for their economy. You can't just grow an economy over and over and over again, bigger and bigger and bigger, until reaching a point that is catastrophic and in which the economy defeats itself, because there just isn't, as I say, enough energy to sustain the currency. Because no matter how much currency you have, if there's not enough energy to run a growing economy that grows every year bigger and bigger, then the currency itself has failed, and the economy has failed. And that's exactly where we're at. The United States is collapsing due to its greed, due to the government wanting the industries within the United States and outside the United States to grow year by year by year and never to decline. And as a result of this, the economy is in the midst of collapse. You should protect yourself from the collapse as much as you can. Try to get yourself out of debt. Try to maintain enough food so that if there's a shortage, you can at least survive short term without starving. We don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of this, but if you look at what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed, people were absolutely starving to death. Same thing in North Korea when it collapsed. And in all of these cases, the electric lights went out. Every once in a while they'd come back on, but not very often. The food in the stores was almost non-existent on certain days. You'd best get your houses in order for this, because this is not going to be pretty. And many, many commentators believe that it's happening right now. So, you shouldn't be afraid, but you should try to make some plans, I think. One of the plans you should make is to post the website www.americanussr.com all over the internet so that more and more people will come to it and find there exactly what the United States has been doing with itself that is negative, and which shows how negative it's going to be for all of us as this country collapses and as they pull more dirty tricks on the people within this country, shutting down the presses, shutting down the internet, etc. What was done in Egypt will be done here, but even more so and more viciously. So please go to all of your blogs every day and put AmericanUSSR.com so that people will begin to find themselves at that site where they can learn all they need to learn about the United States. And please send a donation to the website at AmericanUSSR.com, 6937 Bruno Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And if you're using MP3, you can play this back to get that address perfectly. I want to thank you for visiting with me today. I'm sorry that everything is so negative as usual, but we're living in a country that's a warmonger. It has been at war for year after year after year, has murdered millions of people in the Middle East, and it sucks up under the nasty nation of Israel, which itself is one of the largest warmongers in this world, and is made up of people that came there from the Soviet Union, which was a Jewish-run killing field in which 65 million Christians were murdered from 1917 to 1940, and for whom no one has had to pay. And you won't even hear about it in the Jewish-owned media here in America, because they don't want you to hear about it, and that's exactly why they own the media, so they can get by with their murder and not have to pay for it with their lives. I want to thank you and have a very good evening.